Hello, Swamp Fox, and welcome to the January 2025 edition of Fox Chatter. That's right, it's 2025, which means a new year and a fresh start. Hope all of you took some time over the Christmas holidays to catch up on some well-deserved rest and spend some quality time with your friends and family. I do want to say a special thank you to everyone that continued to operate the base and keep our no-fail mission on task. So to everyone at Security Forces, the Fire Department Command Post, and the crew at ACA, and everyone else that worked the holidays, thank you for keeping us on task and on mission. 2025 is going to be an exciting year. We start with our spin-up for our O&E mission that we will take on this spring, which will probably look very similar to the one we did in 2023. The other major exercise we are planning is possible participation in Rey Lumpago with our state partners in Colombia, South America, in early fall. Those details are still being worked out, and we'll provide them once they're available. Still planning on doing our family day in May and Winterfest again in December. Otherwise, we're going to continue to remain focused on expanding our capability to fight in a contested environment and improving our agile combat employment capabilities. This January drill is going to be a more typical standard type drill, with the focus being individual readiness and getting ready for our upcoming O&E mission. We'll also have some information sessions on benefits available to each of you, but we're going to discuss that more a little bit later when we have our guest appear on this podcast. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. So in an effort to improve communication and transparency, I want to share some of the plans we have upcoming for the wing. So in September, we asked you to voluntarily complete a climate survey. Approximately 30% of you responded, and we have read through nearly 50 pages of detailed responses. We've identified several key trends which we're actively working on or planning to tackle during this year. The main takeaways are we have a highly driven workforce that really enjoys executing the mission, but we have some areas we can improve, and some of those areas are increasing unit cohesion, improving morale, and also improving our accountability. So many of these are not simple or easy fixes. They're going to take time to see the results after we implement some of the changes. This organization is it's a big ship. We have a fairly small rudder, so it takes a long time to get it moving in the direction we want. But we also have to avoid, you know, making inputs that are too big or not really the ones that we should have been making. That's just going to create new or unforeseen issues that we're going to have to address again in the future. So we're trying to do this deliberately and with some calculation. I assure you, we take all of these results to heart. We read through all of the comments, and we're continually trying to just make this a better place and a more enjoyable place for you to come to work. So when I took command, I detailed my commander's intent with an ABC type of concept. A was for always ready, B was being better than before, and C was for cohesive teamwork. These concepts speak directly to many of the issues you identified in the climate survey. So we need to give more attention to the administrative tasks as part of taking care of our airmen, which includes building future leaders and also advancing their careers at the same time. So if these administrative tasks are efficiently running in the background, we can spend more time focusing on accomplishing our mission training, which is far more fun and enjoyable. But when we let the admin slide and fall off, we have to work overtime to bring it back up to standard, which takes away from the mission focus. And we may have to put a little more attention on it to get it to the right level. This is going to require a lot of teamwork, so we need to do whatever we can to build our cohesiveness. We have to make things run efficiently. We have a lot of single points of failure, which we need to improve upon. So we need to focus on creating backups and redundancies and allowing our existing plans that we already have in place to be executed. Once we have a business rule or a plan in place, we need to follow it and hold those accountable who don't follow it. And if that plan is outdated or doesn't work anymore, we need to update it. The plans are there to pass on the information so that when that single human is not available, then we can continue to get the mission done by somebody else picking up that plan and just executing it. So that creates efficiency, and that efficiency is going to promote effectiveness. We value your time, and we want you to get the best training you can in the limited amount of time that you are available to us. So we're also restructuring our focus for drill weekends. Our organization is designed to train a DSG over 12 drill weekends. We dedicate one of those to Family Day and one of those to Winterfest, which wipes out a lot of the training time for that drill weekend. So we really only have about 10 weekends left to train with. We also plan four-day super drills. That's to give us the added benefit of free weekends in April and July, which allows you to spend more time planning for spring break and summer vacations. These super drills are designed to give commanders a longer period of availability and to get more tasks accomplished when DSGs are available to them. We originally intended these super drills to coincide with medical readiness events for specific organizations, but that didn't prove to be as effective as we would have liked. So we're going to reprioritize our focus now. This year, the super drills are going to be in March and September, and those are going to enable wing-wide exercises to focus on mission execution and readiness throughout the wing by doing wing-level exercises. We're going to revisit those exercises approximately every 6 months, and that's going to allow us to keep our readiness at the appropriate level and avoid the hectic thrash and steep learning curves we had to overcome during our last inspection. Those medical services that were previously in those super IMRs, they're now going to be spread out quarterly. And each quarter, there will be medical services provided, and those will be for any groups at any time. So anyone that's due in your organization during that quarter should be scheduled, and they should knock out that training during that drill. We're also looking at ways to increase morale across the base. We're looking at scheduling a Friday of each month as a single go fly day. So on those single go Fridays, we're going to fly more aircraft in the first go, and we're going to utilize tankers and hot pit refueling to make up the additional sorties that we need to get our training done. The remaining afternoon is going to be designed to give commanders time to accomplish training events and morale events whenever they're able. Please take advantage of this time. If you want to see specific events happen, take the initiative and plan it. I'll support anything that builds unit cohesion and morale and doesn't detract from our mission. These days are typically going to be just before drill weekend, and that's going to allow as many DSGs as possible who may travel in early for that drill to have the ability to still participate. Another issue we're going to address is accountability. This is a difficult one. So it's tough to discipline airmen when we know we're going to spend a 20-year career with them. It's a little easier on the active duty when the faces are continually changing with their never-ceasing PCS cycles. But here, the family remains pretty consistent across your military career, with you continuing to work with the same people throughout that 20 years. But just because it's hard to discipline someone doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. So we acknowledge we need to improve in this area, and we're going to make some efforts to improve holding each other accountable. I'm going to ask you to do the same. Lasting and meaningful change happens across the board, not from the top down. All of these efforts are part of building a system that will allow us to focus on always being ready. The days of last-minute training are pretty much over. We have to be ready for the unscheduled. So while we're still going to be on a regular-ish type of schedule for deployments, we also need to be ready for any emerging threats. So ready airmen training is going to become a more routine training event, meaning your commander should schedule these events across regular drills, and we're going to routinely revisit these high-emphasis items rather than waiting until the last minute just before deployment and then overloading our schedules with a whole bunch of tasks. But this is also an area where I need your help. So we also have to be individually responsible. So you're in charge of your own training and all of your own requirements. If you're due for requirements like your individual medical readiness, hence individual, I need you to be proactive and work on getting yourself greened up. Don't wait for a training manager or a deployment manager to do that for you. These changes seem like maybe a lot at first glance, but they're really just small tweaks to what we're already doing. Nothing's really on fire or broken, but we're just constantly making small changes to try to make everything we can better. There are some bigger changes that are going to come along with these. So the entire Air Force is changing to meet the needs required to compete against highly capable adversaries. And to do that, the Air Force is redesigning how we're organized and how we present our fighting forces. So the Air Expeditionary Force, or AAF construct, that we've all lived under for the majority of our careers is now changing to become the Deployable Combat Wing, or a DCW construct. This is going to be a fundamental change to how we operate our base and how we are going to deploy and then fight together. That means the aviation package and the RCPs that previously deployed separately are now going to train together and then deploy together on the same timelines. And it's going to come with some changes in how our wing is organized and our day-to-day operations as well. We've been identified as a Pathfinder wing, which means we're going to lead the way in developing how DCW is constructed, and then we are going to deploy and execute as a DCW in 2027. There's still a lot of unknowns. So as a Pathfinder wing, we're tasked with creating a lot of these ideas as we go. So there'd be a lot of change, there'd be a lot of mistakes, and probably a lot of corrections along the way. But the end result should be a win for our organization and for the Air Force as a whole. There is a ton to cover on that topic, so I'm going to punt that until we have more details and I can give you a little bit better information. So expect some of that to come out on an upcoming podcast. Thank you again for an extremely successful 2024. As we start 2025, I want to start with ensuring that our airmen know what benefits are available to them. So today's guest is retired Chief Master Sergeant Dean Widener. Chief Widener retired from the South Carolina National Guard as a state command chief and is now with the National Guard Association of the United States, or NAGAS. He's got a lot of very important information about benefits that each of you are entitled to. This isn't a sales pitch, but it's more of an education pitch to ensure you get everything you deserve. So, Chief, welcome to the Fox Shatter Podcast.
Thank you, Colonel Bose. I appreciate you having me here. So, yeah, thank you for inviting me to come out and talk to your airmen. I really appreciate that, though we don't have a lot of chances to do that. And so whenever someone gives us that opportunity, we definitely like to make sure they understand why we're out here. As you mentioned, I work with the National Guard Association. One of our biggest goals is to make sure our soldiers and our airmen are taken care of. One of the ways we do that are through the benefits that we can give, make sure our soldiers and our airmen are getting through the association. So one of the reasons I'm here is I get to brief the wing on the benefits, the state-sponsored life insurance benefits that they have. And a lot of wings don't realize, not just wings or armories, National Guard members don't realize the benefits that they have. And these are huge benefits that right now, they probably don't think about it when it comes time for them to pull chocks or pop smoke while they're going, what am I going to do? And so the National Guard Association is taking care of that and has a benefit that was actually written into law back in 1974 by Congress. And I did about 30 years in the military and guard and never knew I had this benefit until it was time for me to retire. And I was like, whoa, what am I going to do? Unfortunately, I was able to take advantage of that program at the last minute. So our goal is to get out on the weekend, brief our airmen, make sure they understand these benefits and how to utilize these benefits, because there's benefits that you have that in some cases you're utilizing them, but are you utilizing them wisely? A lot of times in the Guard, we enroll in things after a briefing because at that point in time it was the right thing to do. And then as we get older and get married or get divorced or have children, we don't update those benefits. And you think you have the correct benefits and you don't. So we are now going to be coming out on an annual basis and making sure that our airmen are taken care of, making sure they can make updates, increase benefits, take advantage of those benefits. Or in some case, if they don't need those benefits anymore, we can make sure that they get out of the programs. So a good benefit that the National Guard Association went to the well for our airmen. One of the things that happened was they actually increased the death benefit for our airmen. And what that means is we have, for example, last year, there's a $50,000 death benefit for state-sponsored life insurance. A member was paying $17 a month. Now, for that same $17 a month, they get $170,000 worth of coverage. And so that's really the type of work that the National Guard Association is doing. Let's continue to improve on these programs for our airmen and their family. And that's what sets us apart from the rest of the folks, is it's all about the airmen and the soldier and making sure that their benefits are maximized out and that they have the ability to take advantage of those benefits there. One of the things I'm going to be doing this weekend is I've got a schedule where I'll go around and I'll brief each unit. We go unit level. That's to make sure that everybody gets the opportunity to take advantage of the program. One of the benefits is that everybody, including yourself, you have $1,000 worth of coverage at no cost to you. And what happens is if you were to lose your life, as long as you're wearing the uniform or as long as you're in the guard, you have $1,000 that's going to be given to your beneficiary within 24 hours of notification. And you know, $1,000 may not seem like a lot of money to some folks, but you know, in some cases, it may help keep the lights on. And so if it's a benefit that you have, we want to make sure that you take advantage of that benefit. And all you have to do is tell us who your beneficiary is. If you don't tell us who your beneficiary is, they will still cut that check, but now it goes to your estate and it defeats the purpose of somebody getting their hands on that benefit within 24 hours of notification. So it's a benefit that every airman has worked hard for because they wore the uniform. And if it's a benefit that you have, I would highly recommend that everybody, number one, knows that that's a benefit they have and they take advantage of that, especially if it's at no cost to them. one of the great things about the state-sponsored life insurance program is you have it in conjunction with your benefits that you have, like a service members group life insurance. So it's in conjunction with that or supplements that. And then when you get out of the guard, you take it with you. And when you get out of the guard, they don't increase the cost just because you're no longer a guard member. Now, the cost will increase the older you get at age 50 and 60, but it does provide a benefit for our guard members all the way up to age 70. And you just can't find anything else like that on the outside. That's the key, is to, number one, make sure that they have a benefit to take with them when they get out of the guard. But another benefit of the program, too, is it has an emergency death draft of up to $25,000. So if you lose your life, or your spouse or child loses their life within 24 hours of notification, they're going to get up to $25,000 within 24 hours of notification. That helps the members with trying to get those final expenses going, because if not, a lot of our airmen are pulling their credit cards out or emptying their savings account out just to try to get those final expenses. And the guard says, no, you need to be grieving the loss of your loved one, not trying to figure out how you're going to make ends meet. And so that's a huge benefit of the program as well. And again, if you stop and think about it, it's all about the perspective of the airman. How can we help our airmen when they get into a certain situation that's just not good for them and a part of their life that, you know, hopefully we can help make it a little easier for them to transition through if something like that happens. You do not have to be a member of the National Guard Association of the United States or the National Guard Association of South Carolina. This is a benefit that was written into law by Congress back in 1974 that our members just don't know about it. Now, the National Guard Association, they, I would say, kind of facilitate it to make sure that the benefits get out. And I guess our airmen, our soldiers get educated to know that that's a benefit. All of your Guard associations work together to kind of facilitate that and manage that. What I do as part of the national team is I go to all of the wings and the armories and make sure everybody knows they have that benefit. So it's an education process for our airmen and for our soldiers. The thing that really enlightens everybody is, number one, they didn't know they have that benefit. And number two, especially when you go and brief and people are going, man, I'm getting out within the next 12 months, you can see it's a relief on their face to know that, oh, wow, I don't have to go to a different program on the outside that doesn't pay such good benefits for me. So you take care of the soldier and airman while you're in the guard, and then when they leave, you're still taking care of them. That's what they deserve. You know, they serve their state and their nation, and we don't want to just take care of them while they're in the guard. We want to make sure that when they leave, they're taken care of as well. So the program I'm briefing on this weekend is going to be, we're going to talk about service members group life insurance. We're going to talk about veterans group life insurance, and we're going to talk about state-sponsored life insurance. We want to make sure you're educated on all three of those programs. Obviously, you know, your service members group life insurance is just UCAC and Amil Connect, and you update that as long as you're in the National Guard. Veterans group life insurance is something that's going to happen once you get out of the Guard. It's just another program available to you. And then the state-sponsored life insurance is the one that I'll brief as well, making sure that, hey, if you want to enroll in this program, we can do that now. Or if you want to make adjustments, you can do that as well. But once you get out of the guard, you're going to lose that benefit of enrolling into the state-sponsored life insurance. So you have to do it while you're in the guard in order for it to take effect. So when you get out of the guard, it follows you out the door. There is a website. It's a website that just kind of tells you about the story. And if you want your unit to be briefed, how to contact the folks, we do have an 800 number that once folks enroll, they can call and question, get the copy of their certificate, or even if there's a loss, making sure that they call that number and we get those benefits out within the 24-hour time frame. After the briefing, I have my contact information, but the easiest way is just call South Carolina National Guard Association. You can even go online and tell them that you need some more information on the state-sponsored life insurance program. Or like I said, they can contact ssli.org or contact me based on the information I give them at the briefing. We're going to make sure that if someone has a question or if someone wants coverage, we're going to make sure that happens because, again, it is all about the airmen and making sure they're taken care of. And so we'll bend over backwards to make sure that happens for folks. I've had instances where, you know, I've been briefing in Florida and I'm in South Carolina and these things required wet signatures. And, you know, I've actually was in that area and had to drive 3 or 4 hours out of the way to make sure we got that soldier and airman taken care of. And all of us that work as part of the briefing team are retired chiefs or first sergeants. So when you hear that, you know, okay, they are going to take care of their folks. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of our airmen. And so I would say that's kind of like a mulligan for me, right? I got out of the guard, didn't probably do the job I needed to do from the standpoint of making sure everybody understood their benefits as a state command chief. So I say, this is my mulligan. So now I'm out there going, okay, guys, you need to take advantage of these benefits. And at least you need to know about these benefits so you can take advantage of them.
Chief, thanks for taking the time to come out and educate us on what benefits are available to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Colonel. I really appreciate the time that you've given me to come out and speak with you. And I hope this has been beneficial for you and all of the airmen out here at McIntyre. And I hope to see you guys more often.
Naugus was instrumental in adding a 10% pay increase for our junior enlisted members. That's on top of the 4.5% increase across the board pay raise that everyone's going to get. So 14.5% pay raise is incredible for the junior enlisted. They're also working to provide TRICARE for all, which means that every reserve component member would have no-cost access to medical and dental coverage as a traditional guardsman, just like they were serving on active duty. That's not a done deal. That's something they're just continually working on. But those huge efforts, they require our support, and we support them by becoming a member. So if you're not already a member of Naugus, I highly encourage you to look into that and to join and become a member and support their ongoing efforts. Next, we're going to recognize some Swamp Fox for their accomplishments in 2024. Our 2024 annual award winners were announced at Winterfest and also sent out in a wing-wide email. But I want to take another opportunity to thank these airmen and recognize them for the great work they did last year. The Airman of the Year is Senior Airman Mario Villalta from Civil Engineering. NCO of the Year, Tech Sergeant David Viers, Contracting. Senior NCO of the Year, Senior Master Sergeant Courtney Polnicki, Airfield Management. First Sergeant of the Year, Master Sergeant Gary Ballier, Civil Engineering. CGO of the Year, Captain Daniel Weipert from Maintenance. FGO of the Year, Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Madrid from ACA. Civilian of the Year, Mr. Rich Dowd from Maintenance. Family of the Year, the Duncan family from everywhere on base. And the Unit of the Year, the Aircraft Maintenance Squadron. Thank you so much to each of these outstanding airmen. Each of those winners received a trophy at Winterfest. Take that trophy back, and we're going to give that to them at the National Guard Association of South Carolina's annual conference, which is going to be down in Hilton Head, South Carolina, 8th through 9th of March. And there we're going to introduce them again and hand out their trophies. But as part of the gifts that they received for their annual award, we also had some sponsors pitch in and give them some additional goods. The Chiefs Council provided a lifetime membership to the Enlisted Association of the National Guard of the United States, or ENGUS. The National Guard Association of South Carolina is going to cover their registration fees and their banquet dinner fees for the conference that we just mentioned. And the South Carolina National Guard Federal Credit Union here on base is covering one night of their hotel stay while at that conference to help offset some of their costs. Thank you so much to each of these sponsors for helping us pay tribute to each of these great airmen and all the great things that they've done this past year. And some other great news, our South Carolina National Guard recruiting and retention team was selected as a 2024 Patriot Team, which is a national level recruiting and retention award. So a huge shout out to Chief Master Sergeant Kenny Monroe, who was recently selected as the regional recruiting chief for our region. And they also got him the chief position, so congratulations on his promotion as well. Master Sergeant Justin Caton as the flight chief and the recruiting team lead. Master Sergeant Jermaine Edmonds as our retention manager. Tech Sergeants Leanne Travers and Jeremiah Hust, who work on the officer accession side of recruiting. Tech Sergeant Joshua Hutto-Peters, Tech Sergeant Michael Floyd, and Staff Sergeant Cameron Oglesby, who are the line recruiters. So they're number one out of 90 Air National Guard wings being selected for this award. That demonstrates the best overall recruiting and retention team for their programs and practices. They only have 3 production recruiters, but they're placed in the top 12 for total accessions out of the 489 recruiters in the entire nation. It's a very small team that's putting up huge results. And last year they had 157 total accessions, with a goal of only 126, so far exceeded their goal. And we've also maintained at or above 100% total manning for the entire FY, which is a monumental task. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for this month's episode. If you have an idea again for a segment or a question you'd like answered, please reach out to the Public Affairs Office or try to connect to us through the Air Force Connect app and select the comment box. can always send me an email directly or ask me as we're walking around base. So again, Happy New Year to all of you. It's been a great 2024, and I'm looking forward to even better 2025. Semper Promise.